This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice and Avi Miller are with you. And Avi, we're pulling the old Dean Beck trick of when a guest...
When one guest disappears, another guest arrives.
That's right, and there is a core set of guests that fill in when one other guest falls over, and Christian Vega is one of those guests.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. That's great. I'm used to filling in a gap.
Yes.
That's fine. Usually, I'm being paid for it, so this is not unfamiliar territory. Hello, listeners.
But Christian, you've actually got something to talk about tonight.
Oh, I do.
Because
you always have something to talk about.
But you spent the last. You spent a month living over...
I spent 3 months.
It was 3 months, wasn't it? I'm going, no, yeah.
I spent almost a whole grid.
Yeah, that's right. 3 months living in Tasmania.
I did.
And you're still alive.
I'm still alive. The mountain people didn't get me. It's amazing.
You were over there working for Tascart.
Yes. I should preface any of this discussion with I'm not actually representing Tascart right now. I'm just
Exploring your experience there.
Yeah.
Because Tascard, for those who are unaware, is the Tasmanian Council on AIDS, Hepatitis and Related Disease.
That's right. So it's their AIDS Council.
It's their AIDS Council.
Mm-hmm. And that... I'm going to ask the Dean Beck question. Is there even HIV in Tasmania?
Well, according to the Sentinel surveillance data, so, you know, whenever somebody is diagnosed with HIV, it's reported to a national, you know, system. And according to that data, it hits about half the prevalence of the rest of the country. So, you know, while HIV sort of happens at this sort of steady pace everywhere else in the country, Tasmania is about half of that. But there's a couple of things that sort of working down there, you get to realise. Like, there isn't as much access to sexual health services as there is in bigger capital cities. So one of the services that I got to know down there was like Hobart Sexual Health. And while it's nice to compare sexual health services across the states, they're very different animals. So, yeah, they're staffed in very different ways. And they also see different people. So while GLBTI community might be very used to going to Melbourne Sexual Health, Hobart Sexual Health, for example, just saw everybody.
Right, okay. So
it's one of those things that, you know, you to jump into a correlation versus causation argument, you go, well, obviously the way to stop HIV is to not have any services because Tasmania doesn't and they've got half the prevalence.
Well, this is the thing. And I think you have to
flippant, listeners.
Of course. But these are the things you do have to consider when you look at sort of population health. And certainly Tasmania is also a very conservative place in terms of the way... I guess people are embraced. So there are GLBTI people in Tasmania. Mm. Albeit not a very huge population.
I was going to ask that. How thriving is the community?
Well, because it's such a small place and it can be quite a parochial place. Like people sort of, you have to know someone and it's much more, there's a much more stronger sense of community, just like any sort of big country town. The GLBTI people seem to just blend in with everybody else. So while there's like one gay club in Hobart, for example, and one in Launceston, you'll see gay and lesbian people like in a whole bunch of straight pubs as well. So they're just integrated into the community a lot more seamlessly.
Did you get a sense of... age demographics? I mean, we, you know, I've been I love Hobart, but I love Hobart to visit for a weekend. I couldn't imagine spending 3 months there. It's a beautiful city, town. Yeah. I don't know where it sits in the
it's
the,
a city.
But, I mean, is there
it's scrapes in, I think.
Yeah. Is there a sense of the demographic of the age of, you know, the GLBTI community in Hobart versus the general community in Hobart? Yeah. Is it a reviving young town? Is it a getting older town?
It's interesting. So people do have this, I guess, conception that Tasmania is like the retirement village.
Yes.
And certainly there, I mean, it is, you know, demographically it has like, it's the oldest state. There are the communities generally older. But you also see, particularly in the GLBTI community, you'll see like a lot of younger gay and lesbian people. What's missing, what I found interesting is the people who are missing are sort of the 30 to 45 year olds. There seems to be this like people who grow up there in Tasmania. They tend to leave and then they come back after retirement. So.
Yeah. Well,
I'm generalising, of course.
Yeah, of course. But potentially some of that, particularly for our community, is that because of the discrimination, criminalisation of gay sex in the state up until the, what?
Late 90s,
That potentially then led to the 30 to 40-year-olds to leave a lot earlier.
It's also not a hugely exciting place.
I imagine it's not also a commercial centre of Australia. If you have a particular career if you want a particular career, the opportunity for that career is not potentially in Tasmania because it's a very limited market.
Typically, although, I mean, I was headhunted to do a community health job in Tasmania. Yeah. Also, as a sex worker, funnily enough, the sort of the legal structure in Tasmania made it a lot easier for me to work.
We are going to talk about
that. We are.
See, look how well I did there.
Oh,
I was throwing to a break.
Yeah, but I can keep talking.
Okay. You know, listeners, if you wouldn't mind sending an SMS to 0427 JOY949 and tell Andrew the Apprentice to fuck off. I'm just learning his bloody rules.
No, because we haven't touched on, obviously, with the community not being being integrated a lot more than perhaps in Victoria, that must make the job of a community health promotion officer trying to target that population a lot more difficult.
Absolutely, absolutely. So while it's easy in a sort of more cohesive community to do that sort of health promotion work, when the community sort of blends into everybody else, your strategies for engagement do have to change and adapt to that, which is why health promotion really should adapt with each of those populations and those. That's just one of the considerations.
Because you don't have the touch points that we would have here in Melbourne, for example.
No. So you'll notice like things like health promotion. Well, where a lot of, say, the work of the VAC comes in is, I mean, they'll do things like advertise in GLBTI media. There is no gay newspaper in Tasmania.
Yeah.
You'll see a lot of their promotional stuff be out in gay clubs and bars. There's one gay bar in Hobart. You know, there are no saunas in Tasmania. So a lot of those opportunities for engagement and health promotion messaging to be very specifically targeted to our community just don't happen. So you have to come up with different ways to engage the community.
Was there a concern coming into the job? Were you told of any concerns in regards to that promotion? That, for example, we've seen in Queensland, for example, they attempted to do health promotion on bus shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Caused an uproar.
Yeah.
Is that something that can be done in Tasmania without too much concern?
Look, I think so. Considering that, when you talk about things like HIV in Tasmania, I'm not sure what it was like in Queensland, but what certainly was the feedback amongst a number of workers and the general community was there was a lot of empathy around HIV. So it was something that the general community was certainly sympathetic towards as opposed to being antagonistic or homophobic. On World AIDS Day, the the ambassador that was doing a lot of the media for around awareness raising for HIV was a straight man. He was a lumberjack.
aren't they all in Tasmania?
Who was straight? Like it was, it's that sort of, I guess.
Was this an HIV positive straight lumberjack? No, just a.
This was. I think it was. It's on the website. David Foster, I think. Yeah. But he came out in favour of gay marriage a little while ago, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to think whether or not he's got family in the community. I think.
Yeah, I think his daughter might be. Don't quote me.
We'll need to Google it.
But he does have a sort of familial connection to the GLBTI community. But you know, and it's that kind of stuff where people are happy to be to express empathy and sympathy as allies to the GLBTI community. And again, that sort of lends itself to, you know, gay community being very integrated, just like everybody else. Blah blah.
Do you see that across the? I mean, you know, TASCARD is AIDS, hepatitis related diseases. So, mm-hmm. you know, they've lumped them all together. Is there any stigma? I mean, you know, hepatitis C, particularly in Melbourne now, is now the new one that you have to be clean for, you know. Yeah. You know, I'm HIV positive, but hep C negative, you know, and UB too kind of stuff. And the stigma as you know, money gets thrown into HIV, there's no money in hepatitis C. And, it, you know, now we're seeing some amazing treatments coming out for hepatitis C and hepatitis Victoria just started as well.
Yeah.
What was it like having to... Did you just focus on HIV? Did you have to touch on lots of things?
Well, certainly when you work in this sector, it's across bloodborne viruses, so that's HIV and Hep C. I did spend a lot of time talking to the people who worked at the needle and syringe program, and the Hep C information distribution sort of also sat with TASCARD. So there was a little bit of a feel around, you know, a lot of those things being very related. And I mean, across the states, they're just not usually closely connected to each other as they were in Tasmania. So certainly does stigma exist in that community? Absolutely. Absolutely. But a lot of it is there's very, again, injecting drug use isn't very visible as well, a phenomena in, say, Hobart. I mean, there are pockets of it, of course, and again, but that's very much linked to, you know, socioeconomic, you know, distribution. But as far, they're less likely to associate it to particular behaviours. It's more issues of class, so they'll typify a particular area as being a little bit scary, and it's that sort of class based stigma as opposed to Hep C is associated with injecting drug use. As far as I guess disease viruses go, again, it's that sort of empathy / sympathy response as opposed to an antagonistic one.
Did you...
Again, I'm speaking really generally.
Yeah, did you get a feel for the level of understanding of the concepts of transmission of HIV and Hep C in Tasmania in comparison to Melbourne? Like, are people more or less aware of how you get it, how you avoid it, that kind of stuff?
Sure. Well, look, the issues are very generally the same across the board. I mean, there's still, you know, people who will request bareback sex, for example, on Grindr, whatever. That happens everywhere. There is a good level of awareness. I was just thinking before when we were talking about stigma, a lot of people sort of had identified that because I was writing a bit about stigma and interviewing people about it, and because people weren't dying or because people weren't visibly sick, they didn't see it as an issue. But there were other stigma sort of played out in lots of other different ways. So, for example, there were no peer-based responses in Hobart, so for either for gay men or injecting drug users. So while people were being nice about their response to HIV or Hep C, it was this sort of a bit patronising, but, you know, sympathetic, like they felt sorry yeah. for people, as opposed to, you know, being aware that this is a human rights issue, that there was, you know, that community solidarity plays a role in it and all of that kind of stuff. So the dynamics were very different.
And do you find that the community gravitate towards Hobart and Launceston, or is it right across the state?
They're spread across the board. Funnily enough, I've said over and over again that, you know, people are integrated and it feels like a big country town. But there are also pockets where people just didn't talk to each other. So when I was talking to people from Launceston, when I said, well, what's the community like? That consistently, through a number of people, they said, it's really bitchy here. And everybody knows everybody's business and it's really, really gossipy, which was really interesting because when you think small country community, you'd think they would be a bit more, together on stuff. But, you know, it can still
but
be.
But I suppose that's a factor of everybody knowing everyone. Mm. Therefore, you know, you can't just say, oh, I met someone new. There isn't anyone new. It's Launceston. No. Yeah. Yeah. There are only 9 of us, whatever it is.
Mm, right.
So the communities themselves are not big enough for surprise, if you like.
No. And again, there's different issues. So when I was talking to HIV-positive people in Launceston, they were like, they were coming to Hobart to access things like support and treatment, and they were very much saying, there is no way we could talk about this kind of stuff where I live, because then everybody would know and then no one would talk to me. So, yeah, there's different issues, as there are everywhere.
Are you looking to go back?
Look, Tasmania is somewhere I would visit, again, as... it's a beautiful place. There's nature, there's Mona, and there's food. Oh, my God, food is delicious. Look, it would be interesting to go back. Certainly, the organisation that I was working for did not want me to leave. But, you know, would I go back? I would think about it.
Fair enough. Obviously, an interesting enough job with enough... diverse things to do to be attractive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people who are sort of interested in community and community health promotion, every environment is really, really different. So to be, for somebody who is interested in that kind of stuff, to be placed in somewhere that's completely unfamiliar, it's just really, really energizing for me. So it's about, you know, getting in and learning and connecting with people. And yeah, that was really, really fun for me.
Well, Christian, it is good to have you back here, though.
Indeed.
Yay. I did miss Melbourne the whole time.
Of course, you can hear Christian on The Vixen Hour, 9 p.m. every Monday night.
That's
and
right.
Also, mm-hmm. now, tads of bits of you on at the kitchen table.
Oh, yeah, on the kitchen table.
On the kitchen table, at the kitchen table, under the kitchen table. On
wherever you want him to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Sundays at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 p.m. on 1 p.m. Sundays. Yay, with Shannon and the team. It's awesome. Yes.
Well, Christian, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
That's all right.
Filling the shoes at last minute.
Yeah, it's what I do, fill in the gap.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.